Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God. God, we magnify your name. Oh, God, we glorify you.
You are the God who lifts us to come.
My friend, Thank you. Thank you. cross.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me see if I get this Bluetooth here. Yeah, we just bless the name of the Lord Jesus this morning, thanking the Lord, for he is good. Oh, God is good. He is a great God. We don't have this one on here. He is a great God, and we bless his name. We praise his name. We glorify his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. P-L-P. Let me see how that would work. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank the Lord. We praise the Lord, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad. We are exceedingly glad because the Lord has brought us into this new day, a new day of life. Many was here yesterday, even last night, but they're not here today, because they have crossed over into another dimension. And that is enough to praise God for, that God kept us through the storms, through the all the weather. See that the last night, yesterday evening, I think it was last night, that the a ship was going through Baltimore, and it wrecked the bridge. Something, they claimed that something went wrong with the ship, and it wrecked the bridge while cars was on the bridge, and cars were falling into the water, into the lake, hallelujah, or the ocean. And, you know, they rescued some people, but some other people is probably dead. You know, you got to praise God for every little time you get. You know, every little time, hallelujah, we spend too much time complaining that we don't have this and we don't have that. But I say the little time you have, praise God for it. Because he didn't have to give it this morning. He didn't have to wake me up this morning. He could have gone ahead and said, look, you know, I'm going to pass by David's bed, and I'm going somewhere. So I'm going by this other person's bed. But God said, no, not so. I'm going to give him another opportunity to live life on my terms, to love me, to praise me, to glorify me. This is what the Lord did. So I said, okay, Lord, I will give you praise. Hallelujah. Everything in me will give you praise, will exalt you, will magnify you. Even though my body don't feel really up to par, because, you know, I have this drainage from my head, you know, it's coming down my sinuses, you know, my nostrils. But we praising God. We not complaining. We thanking God, because at least there's something moving inside of me. At least there's something moving in me. So this morning we want to talk about a hill called Calvary. A hill called Calvary. I'm going to give you a few scriptures as I go. I had a sermon on this, but I'm going to give you some. I know I'll get back and read the sermon to you. It's not a long sermon. It's only 2 pages, but, you know, I don't like to write long. Maybe the longest pages I have in a sermon is about 5 or 6, somewhere like that. I don't like to write a lot of stuff. I like to write as the Holy Spirit give me utterance and let him do the rest. You know, here in the book of John, this is the Holy Week. We bless the Lord that he has allowed us to enter into this Holy Week. You know, there's some preachers, some pastors, some congregational members that was excited last week. And they said, man, I can't wait to celebrate Good Friday. I can't wait to celebrate Easter. I can't wait to celebrate the Holy Week. And guess what? They're not here. They're gone. They just cross over into another dimension. You know what I'm saying? Depends on how holy they were living. You know, because a lot of people say holy, 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 but they're not living holy. You know, it's a whole different ballgame. In the Amplified Bible, John chapter 19. If you read chapter 18 in order to get the essence of chapter 19, you should read chapter 18. But we're not going there, because it tells you how they treated Jesus and about all the times that he went before Pontius Pilate. And here he says, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, flogged and whipped him. And the soldiers, having twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head and threw a purple cloak around him. And they kept coming to him and saying, Hail, King of the Jews, good health to you, peace to you, long life to you, King of the Jews. And they struck him with the palm of their hands. See, they were mocking Jesus for your sins and my sins. And some of us don't want to praise him, don't want to give him a hallelujah praise. But when I studied this, I said, every chance I get, I'll be walking through the house and say, Lord, I thank you. I'll be just going to get a drink, get some tea. Lord, I thank you. I just give him praise all day long. All day long, I find something to praise him for. Then Pilate went out again and said to them, talking to the Jews, See, I bring him out to you so that you may know that I find no fault, crime, cause of accusations in him. So Jesus came out wearing the thorny crown and a purple cloak. And Pilate said to them, See, here is the man. When the chief priests and attendants, the guards, saw him, they cried out, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no fault, crime in him. The Jews answer, We have a law. According to that law, he should die because he has claimed and made himself out to be the Son of God. See? They want to crucify him because he claimed who he is. This thing started from the first day that Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day. It started from that because these are these people are all ritualistic. In other words, they are all about rituals, you know, keeping a certain attitude about their stuff, what they're doing. Now, they want to maintain their traditions, you understand? So when Jesus come and expose their traditions, because he made sure that let them know that man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. And from that day, they sought to slay him or kill him. Hallelujah. Now they want to kill him because they say he claimed to be the Son of God. So when Pilate heard this, he was more alarmed and awe-stricken and afraid than before. See, because now they say, see, Pilate's wife had told him, be careful, don't mess with that man. You know, this man, she said, I had some dreams about this man. Pilate's wife had some dreams about Jesus, who he was. He said, look, I seen this man. This man is a powerful man. He said, don't you put your hand on him. Leave him alone. And Pilate tried to talk back to his wife. I seen this early. But now the Jews say that he claimed to be the Son of God. Pilate now become afraid because what his wife had told him about this Jesus, it's manifesting. He's hearing it now out of the Jews' mouth. He claimed to be the Son of God. So Pilate said, saying to himself, I am just paraphrasing this because I don't see this right now in the Bible, but Pilate is probably saying to himself, man, my wife was right. I can't fool with this man. I'm gonna let them people do what they want to do with him, and let the charge be on them. Let the judgment be on them, but I don't want it to be on me. So he said, listen, Pilate says, so he went into the judgment hall again and said to Jesus, where are you from? Now he wants to know if Jesus come from heaven, if he come from God. Hallelujah. Because the Jews out there saying they claim to be the Son of God. To what world do you belong? He asked him. But Jesus did not answer him. Remember we say he didn't say a mumbling word? He did not answer him because if he said something that, you know what, Pilate, I just want you to know that I am the Son of God. I came down from heaven. I came down from the throne room, from God's bosom. Pilate would have set him free. And you and I would be still in bondage. The world would still be in bondage. But Jesus had to keep his silence because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Pilate said to him, will you not speak even to me? Do you not know that I have power, authority to release you
and I have power to crucify you. This is what Pilate taught. But listen to Jesus. Jesus answered, you would not have any power or authority whatsoever against or over me if it were not given to you from above. See, he had to get power from the Father. Father, you know. For this reason, the sin and guilt of the one who delivered me over to you is greater. See, the one who betrayed him, the one who delivered him, would have greater sin. Even when after Judas discovered what he had done, you know, what he really did. You know, sometimes you can walk with people and don't really know who they are. Here with Jesus, he eat with Jesus, sleep with Jesus. They all sleep on the same mat. But he really didn't. Some people ain't going to believe who you really are. Some going to believe that you're an ordained person. They don't believe that you are anointed and appointed by God. They see you as just a truck driver, as just a worker in the supermarket. They see you as just a laborer on the construction field. They don't know that you're appointed and anointed by God. They say, well, he just drives a bus. Oh, she's just a servant. She's just a maid. But they don't know that you're filled with the light of God that I talked about yesterday. So Judas betrayed him with a kiss. And when he realized what he had done, what did he do? The Bible said he went outside and hung himself. Hung himself and the very 30 pieces of silver they bought a plot where he hung himself. Hallelujah. And that place is called the Field of Blood. Now listen to what he said. He says, Jesus answered, you would not have any power or authority whatsoever against or over me if it were not given you from above. For this reason, the sin and the guilt of the one who delivered me over to you is greater. Upon this, Pilate sought anxious to release him. See, Pilate was, he was thinking, he was in his mind, could he find a way that he could set Jesus free? He wanted to release him. But the Jews kept shrieking. You could hear them delivering, crucify him, crucify him. They're screaming out at the top of their voice. If you release this man, they told the Pilate, you are no friend of Caesar. Anybody who makes himself out to be a king sets himself up against Caesar. It is a rebel. It's a rebel against the emperor. So they put their worship Jehovah God. See? Jesus is Jehovah. He's Jehovah God. But they don't know that. So they say that he called himself a king. And anyone that make themselves a king, they put themselves above Caesar, the Roman king, the Roman emperor. Do you see that? Hearing this, Pilate brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, the mosaic pavement, the stone platform in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. See, they're getting ready, getting all of their kosher stuff together. They're getting the meat. They're getting the chicken. They're getting the bread, everything that they do, the wine and everything that they use for Passover. Hallelujah. Their prayer books and everything. They're getting together. So they can't touch anything. They can't touch anything that they've seen or deemed to be unclean. They can't touch anything. They can't touch the dead. You understand? They can't touch anything. Glory to God. So it was about 6 hours. It was about the 6 hour, excuse me, about 12 o'clock, noon. He said to the Jews, see, there is your king. But they shouted, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, crucify your king. The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Can you imagine that? The priest, the one who was supposed to represent him, who's supposed to be his ambassador, his representative in the earth realm. Do you know when they begin to put the mark of the beast on people? And I think they begin already. There's some people going to say that they don't know Jesus, that they don't belong to Jesus. They're going to deny him. They're going to reject him. Hallelujah. Because the place we're going to is that you're going to have to deny, you're going to have to reject Jesus or be put to death. Take the mark or be put to death. That's where we're going to. I was hearing some preacher say the other night, and he said that from in the 60s until now, the Democratic administration or party, whoever you want to call it, has caused over 80 million black babies, people of color, babies, to be aborted. But yet still, they are voting Democrats. He said that. I don't know, because I haven't read the book. He said that Martin Luther King and, what you call it, Jesse Jackson and all these folk that was early, he said they all was paid plenty of money to be in agreement to put all these abortion clinics in different neighborhoods where the people of color live so they could get abortions easy. See, because they tell you that they say that you can go ahead and abort your baby. You don't need to. It's going to slow you down. It's going to cramp your style. It's going to stop you from progressing. So then when the women, people of color, then when they want to have babies, they can't get babies. I remember this girl that I was dating back in our country, in the country I was born in, because America is my country. I'm a citizen of the United States. But the country I was born in Barbados, and her grandmother didn't like me. Some of you all that maybe on the line may have heard this story before. We're getting back into the word. And one thing leads to another. We always used to have a lot of sex. We used to go in the camp, feel everywhere we go, we sex, in the car, everywhere. At my mama's house, anywhere, we had sex. And she got pregnant. She was going to high school, going to college. But she wanted to be a nurse. And she says, very adamant, I'm going to have an abortion. I didn't have the same belief that I have now pertaining to abortion. I didn't have it because I wasn't saved or sanctified. Yes, I went to Sunday school, Bible study, and all that kind of stuff because my mama wanted me to go when I was a young boy. But after I get it wrong, 18 and 19 and 20, I wasn't concerned with that stuff. I went when I was 10 and 12 years old, somewhere around there. And she had an abortion. I'm saying this to you because somebody out there must hear this. Somebody out there in computer land, they are just eager now to go and have an abortion to get rid of that baby that's in their belly. They even got it set up right now that they can have late-term abortion, which means the woman's life is at stake. She's taking a chance because she can die. She can die on the table while the doctor's trying to put the instrument inside her vagina to pull that baby out. She can die on the table because late-term. Well, my girlfriend at the time, she's a preacher now, and a good preacher too, great preacher. Know the words, I tell you, like never before. But when I went home sometime some years ago and she knew I was a preacher, here I was a preacher, she said, look at what God has done for us. But now, since then, she has dated and wanted, I don't know if she's married now, but she wanted to have a baby. She wasn't saved then. She wanted to have a baby. After she had went to England, London, and she had get her papers, get her certificate as a nurse, and she came back and she was working at Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Barbados. Not the biggest hospital, I think the only one. And they may have a couple of little ones, but, you know, that's the biggest hospital. And she can't have a baby. She couldn't have a baby. Because whatever they did inside her womb, it stopped her from even able to conceive. You see, and this is what they're doing to our people. So our race is dying. Our race, the people of color race is dying. It's getting smaller and smaller because a lot of the women are not having, they're not born the babies. They're not giving birth to the fetus. What they're doing is they're claiming it's not even a human being inside their belly. You know? And this is what the people, the Democratic Party did to our people. And we are so blindsided. Then they said, well, no, you know, we're going to give you welfare. More babies you get, if you have babies, and some of them have babies, they have 6-7 babies for 6 or 7 different fathers. And they put them on welfare. And they get a welfare check, plus they get rent. And some of them, I was getting high back in Virginia, I had this associate that we used to go to our house and get high. Roaches everywhere, even the daytime. Dirty roaches were so bold, even the daytime they come out. They didn't care about day or night. Roaches everywhere. And she only had to pay, I think, $38 and $42 a month for the three-bedroom apartment that the government gave her. And they gave her a check for $400 or $500. I mean, she get that money every month, maybe more than that. But she would credit cocaine from crack cocaine from the dealer. So by the time the check come, she can't even put food on the table for her family. And guess what happened? She lost that government assisted apartment because of crack cocaine. I tell you, this is what they do to us. But we are blind. Some of us are so blind we don't see it. Listen to the word of God. This isn't the time, a day of preparation. He said, then he delivered him over to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. So he went out bearing his own cross, carrying his cross to the plot called the place of the skull in Hebrew. It's called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. You see it in Isaiah 53 and 12. And Pilate also wrote a title, an inscription on a placard, and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. And many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write King of the Jews, but he said, I am King of the Jews. So they didn't want to say King of the Jews. They want Pilate to write that Jesus said that he was King of the Jews. This is the priest. You know, he stood for the crucifixion for Jesus. He was in agreement with it, and he didn't even want to be recognized as owner of Jesus. Jesus is their king. They want to recognize that they were owned by Jesus. How quickly we deny him. When the people said, well, I'm going to give you a new car. I'm going to promote you on your job, but you can't talk about Jesus anymore. How quick we deny him and say, oh, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to come in and do my job. I'm not going to mention the name Jesus. Well, you got time. When you're off at lunchtime, you may not be able to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus does this. He's the way, the truth, and the life while you're working. But when you go on your lunch break, your coffee break, that's your time, not the boss's time. That's the time that the government say you can have a coffee break, a lunch break, and you can talk however you want to talk at that time. Hallelujah. Pilate replied, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts and shed for each soldier. Hallelujah, Lord. One for each soldier. And also the tunic, the long shirt-like undergarment. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top throughout. So they said to one, said one to another, let us not tear it, but let us cast lots to decide whose it shall be. They were playing dice now. They're gambling for the Savior's garments. This was to fulfill the scripture. They parted my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things in Psalms 22 and 18. But by the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So Jesus seeing his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing near, said to his mother, "Dear mother, see, here is your son." Then he said to the disciples, "See, here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own keeping, own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, ended, said in fulfillment of the scripture, "I thirst," Psalm 69 and 21. A vessel or jar full of sour wine, vinegar, was placed there. So they put a sponge soaked in the vinegar or wine, sour wine, on the stalk of stick, reed of hyssop, and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, in order to prevent the bodies from hanging on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a very solemn and important one, the Jews requested Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken away. The Jews wanted to make sure that not only Jesus, but the other two thieves that was on the left and on the right, that their legs be broken to make sure they were dead. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with his spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he saw it, and he who saw it, excuse me, he who saw it, the eyewitness, gave this evidence, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he tells the truth, that you may believe also. For these things took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled, verified, carried out. Not one of his bones shall be broken. Exodus chapter 12, verse 46. Numbers chapter 9, verse 12. And Psalm 34 and 20. And again, another scripture says, "They shall look on me, on him whom they have pierced." Zechariah 12 and 10. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, but secretly of fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted him permission, so he came and took away his body. And Nicodemus also, who first had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, weighing about 100 pounds. So they took Jesus' body and bound it in linen cloths with the spices of aromatics, as is the Jews' customary way to prepare for burial. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever yet been buried or laid. So there, because of the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now let's go to Luke chapter 23. We're talking about a hill called Calvary, and we're reading out of just read chapter 19 of John. And we read out of the Amplified Bible. Luke chapter 23, verses 33. You will hear all of these scriptures on the Friday night when they are celebrating Good Friday. And when they came to the place which is called the skull in Latin, Calvary, Hebrew, Golgotha, there they crucified him, and along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Now we look here at these scriptures. Jesus carried his cross along the path of the Via Dolorosa, which is translated Way of Grief, where he paid the debt he didn't owe, the debt we owed and couldn't pay. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I say, thank you, Jesus. What was Jesus crucified at Calvary, or was Jesus crucified at Calvary or Golgotha? Would it be shocking to hear it was at both? Both names point to the same location outside Jerusalem. The word Calvary in Luke's gospel is English for a Latin term translated from a Greek word meaning crinum or skull, Luke 23 and 33. The other gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and John, use the word Golgotha. It is a transliteration of an Aramaic term taken from a Hebrew word meaning skull or a place of the skull. Matthew chapter 27, verse 33. Mark 15 and 22. John 19 and 7. We read that earlier. So much for the change that scriptures contradict. So much for the charge that scriptures contradict itself. Jesus was crucified at Calvary, which is also Golgotha. It is not hard to visualize what happened at Calvary. Jesus was thrown backward violently, his shoulders slamming against the heavy cross beam he carried through the streets of Jerusalem. A soldier pounded a heavy iron nail through each of his wrists. See, they show you in the come on the book, they show you that in the movies, they show you that the nail went through his palm. Well, we know that Jesus was a big man according to the word. If the nail went through his palm, it would have tore loose. The weight of his body would have tore his palm and it would have pulled through. So it went through his wrist, which is a solid bone. And you can imagine the excruciating pain that he suffered for mankind on that cross. Just visualize it. They're banging that nail, big old spike through his wrist, two spikes, one in each hand. And Jesus was thrown backward on the cross, slamming against the heavy cross beam he carried through the streets of Jerusalem. He saw the pound, a heavy iron nail, through each of his wrists. The beam was lifted and attached to the standing stick on top. And the inscription reads, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. John 19 and 19, we just read that. With his knees slightly flexed and one foot pressed on top of the other, and there was hammered through the arch of each foot. Excruciating pain spread throughout his body. After 6 hours of brutal agony, Jesus said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit and died. A soldier pierced his side with a spear, and blood and water came out. We just read that in chapter 19 of John. Where did all this happen? On a hill called Calvary. Because God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and 8. It was at Calvary where three unseen yet real services were accomplished. One, we were redeemed. Like God's Passover lamb, Jesus shed blood, bought our ransom and forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Number two, we were reconciled. Originally, we were God's enemies. Calvary changed that. Calvary changed that relationship. Now there is an unending peace between God and man. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Number three, God's justice and holiness were satisfied. The Bible calls this doctrine propitiation, the turning away of wrath by an offering. God's Jew, Jesus, shed blood as an acceptable sacrifice for sin. Isaiah chapter 53 and 10. Hebrews 2 and 17. 1 John 2 and 2. 1 John 4 and 10. God received this sacrifice just like the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. Jesus' blood, however, didn't merely cover sin. It brought us grace and redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace, Ephesians 1 and 7. All that remains is for individuals to believe that he died for them personally and to come to him in repentance. See, this is the key. We must come to him in repentance. Peter says that in Acts chapter 2 and 38. Many of us want to come in our own way, doing our own thing. We want to come in and say that Jesus is Lord, he's Savior. But then we go in and out, playing Russian roulette with our souls. This is the time that we ought to recognize how much Jesus loved us, how much the Father loved us and gave his Son to go through all of this cruciating pain. Suffered and died on the cross, mocked all the way to the cross. Why? He traveled that Via Dolorosa road to the cross, and people are spitting on him, kicking him, slapping him, calling all types of names for my sin and your sin. But yet, sir, we as believers still playing games with the cross. We are playing games with our souls. Yeah, I just want to make more money. I just want to have more of this and more of that instead of seeking to know him more. We ought to be seeking and searching. I want to know Jesus more. I want to get closer to him. Then we allow people to stop us from preaching and teaching the gospel. We want to preach prosperity messages and not preach against sin. You're afraid of the people because the people stand up and they're standing up for what they believe, but we wouldn't stand up for what we believe. The Bible says there is a grand sequel to the drama on Calvary Hills. Jesus was taken down from the cross. His body was prepared in Jewish custom. We read in John chapter 19. A huge heavy stone was rolled in front of the tomb entrance. Then a special Roman unit was stationed in front of the tomb. All was set for an ancient prophecy to be fulfilled. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol or hell, for nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Psalm 16 and 10. Jesus' body did not decay. The thief on the left and the thief on the right, their body decayed. But not Jesus' body, because the Bible says he will not suffer his body to see corruption. Hallelujah, glory to God. Best expressed by the refrain from a great classic hymn, Christ Arose, written by Rupert Laurie in the 19th century. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Because he lives, we too shall live in his victory over the devil and death. Rest the glorious promise of resurrection for all who truly have placed their faith in him, shall meet him in the clouds when he returns. Yes, Jesus died on a hill called Calvary for you, for your sins and mine. Yes, Jesus died so that whosoever would call on him, even believe on his name, he gave them the right to become the sons of God. Jesus was whipped and bruised on the way to a hill called Calvary so you can be healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to, I want to read you another thing because I have some time. Let's go to John chapter 18. We want to put this in here. And that was a short sermon that I just read there to you. You know, not time to jump over the wall and all that kind of stuff. We just got to know that we have a reason to praise him. If you just look back at the cross. You know, sometimes I'm laying on my bed and I just think about all that he has done for me just on the bed. You know, it's nothing going on. It's nothing happening. And then I think about this God that leave his home in glory and came into time to die for my sins. And I would just stay there and just weep. My wife says, she says, why are you crying, honey? Because I just saw something in my spiritual mindset. And it just touched my heart so much, I just start weeping. That this God can love me so much that he would send his only son to die on the cross. God in the flesh. On the cross. And even as Pilate had pressed him so hard in the judgment hall, he didn't say not a mumbling word. Pilate was afraid. The Bible said that Pilate was anxious and he was afraid. We read this morning, Amplified. Because after they say that Jesus claimed that he was the Son of God, Pilate became anxious, wanted to find an occasion, some way how he could set Jesus free. But the Jews says no. Pilate offered them Barabbas. Excuse me. He was willing to give them Barabbas, because Barabbas was a thief and he was a murderer. You know, he was a habitual criminal. Jesus was not a criminal. But the people cry, give us Jesus. Give us Jesus. We want him. They say, crucify Jesus. Crucify him. Crucify him. And they keep ringing out. The Bible said they were shrieking, which means they was, to the top of their voice, hollering out, crucify him. He did no wrong. We, mankind, did all the wrong. But the Father wanted to have his family back. So he had a relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden. The Bible says he walked and talked with Adam in the cool of the day. But after they sinned, Adam went and hid. Jesus know where you are. But he asks, Adam, where art thou? Why? Because he wants to hear out of your mouth you speaking, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. He knows where we are. He know what we're doing. He know what's the plan in our spirit, man. He know when we don't give him glory, when we think that we got it all together so we don't have to give him glory. Every chance that I get, I give him glory. I told you that this morning. Because I know I'm not there yet. But I got to give him glory. Because I know he died for me. He in the book of John 18. Read it for yourself. It will bless you. This is the opening to him going to the cross. Okay, before we get to 19, you got to go to 18 really to get the essence, the very objective of chapter 19. So he said, having said these things, Jesus went out with his disciples beyond across the winter torrent of the Kidron in the ravine. There was a garden there, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who was betraying him, delivered him up, also knew the place. Because Jesus had often retired there with his disciples. He often go over there to prayer. Jesus often go to his garden. Some places you can't let everybody know, all of your friends and associates know where you go. You can't let them know your habitual places that you go. See, sometimes you let them know what street you drive. This is how they get to kill people. Some of them know they're going to drive down 19th Street. They're going to come down 17th Street. Every afternoon at such and such time they drive. Every evening at a certain time they come invisible. And just recently a woman was killed because her family think all body was killed because they knew they had planned to assassinate these people. And they said, well, they knew that they came down that road a certain time every day. Kill them all. Judas, obtaining and taking charge of the band of soldiers, hallelujah, and some guards' attendants of the high priest and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to befall him, he Jesus know what's going to happen before it happened. Nothing surprises him. Nothing surprises us as mankind, flesh and blood. But he's God in the flesh. He still knows what's going to happen because this is the reason why he come to the earth. Hallelujah, to save you and save me. Jesus, knowing all that was about to befall him, went out to them and said, whom are you seeking? Whom do you want? They answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus said to them, I am he. Judas, who was betraying him, was also standing with them. He's standing with the soldiers and the priests, all of those that came to take the Savior. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they went backward, drew back, lurched backward, and fell to the ground. Then again he asked them, whom are you seeking? He asked them the question. And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you want me, if it is only I for whom you are looking, then let these men go their way. See, the disciples must carry the word. Jesus don't mind giving up his life, but he wants his students to be saved from death at this particular time. You have a calling on your life. The calling is not to sit around. It's not to sit around and play dominoes and play whist. We play all these card games and Uno and all that stuff. When we should be sharing the word. We should find occasions to share the word. Anytime I miss telling somebody about Jesus, I grieve. I grieve. Because that may be the only chance I had or they had to hear about Jesus. Jesus answered and told, I told you I am he. So if you want me, if it is only I for whom you are looking, let these men go their way. Thus, what he had said would fulfill and verify of those whom you have given me, I have not lost even one. John chapter 6, verse 39, and John chapter 17, verse 12. Then Peter, who had a sword, drew it. No, Peter's always first to take a stand. And struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear, right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Hope I pronounced that right. Malchus. Therefore, Jesus said to Peter, put the sword back into its sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Don't try to stop me from going to the cross, Peter. I'm hearing this in my spirit. This is what I came here for. I came here to give my life for mankind. I came here to give my life that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. So the troops and their captains and the guard attendants of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him. And they brought him first to Annas, and he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Hallelujah. They brought him to the high priest to be judged who you are, who you said you are. See, they want to know. They want to know who he is. People that want to know who you are because they see you walking around. I see you walking around. You was down there with your father, Joseph the carpenter, and now you're claiming to be something else. Who are you? They brought him to Annas. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was expedient for one. It was expedient and for their welfare that one man should die for instead of in behalf of the people. John 11, 49 and 50. Now Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. And that disciple was known to the high priest. And so he entered along with Jesus into the court of the palace of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the door. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter inside. Then the maid who was in charge of the door, she was the doorkeeper, said to Peter, you are not also one of his disciples of this man? In other words, he was saying to him, are you not, if I got it right, kind of strange, you are not also one of his disciples? Are you? He said, I'm not. Right there, Peter denied him, but Jesus told him that before the cock crow three times, he's going to deny him anyway. He's going to deny him. Jesus called this thing out. He knew. He knows the end before the beginning. Hallelujah. He knows if he's going to stick on the path of righteousness. Let me tell you this as a preacher, as a teacher. Do you know that Jesus know if I'm going to stay on this path? Do you know he know if you're going to stay on the path of righteousness or if you're going to jump off the heavenly train before you get to your point? Before you get to the point of redemption? Hallelujah. He knows if you're going to jump off, you're going to give up. And say, I'm tired. People say, I'm tired. I'm retired. I hear preachers retired. And they still can go to the supermarket. They still can go to the mall, but they retire from preaching. Say, well, I got a little time. I'm going to spend time with my family. All the time we have is to be spent for God. If he call you out of darkness, if he call you into his marvelous light, all the time you have is to spend with God. All spend for God. If I'm in a wheelchair, Lord, you know I tell you this years ago. If I'm in a wheelchair and I still got my senses, Lord, you know I tell you this, I mean this. As long as I can still put my P's and Q's together, I'm going to testify of Jesus, his marvelous works. I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to retire because I want to spend time with Nancy. I want to spend time with Benjamin, Amy, and, I mean, Samar, and Anik, and Alicia, and Tremaine, and Rico, and all of my children and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. I'm not going to do that. I want to share this word because somebody, God has set out there in the world that need to hear that he is Lord, that he is Savior from you. It's only some people assigned to you or some assigned to me. I just had some people send me some message just now. They have no food in Africa. Can I send them some money? Let me tell you how much the bill costs. How much it costs. Thank God I had insurance. I didn't know this thing was so expensive. This quadruple surgery that I had, they send the bill to the insurance. We got the bill from the insurance. $190,000. The insurance only paying $55,000 or something like that, $50,000 or $55,000. But the bill was $190,000. I said, Lord Jesus, I said, honey, I said, what would have happened if we didn't have the insurance? They would be pressing us for $190,000. We had to sell everything we had to pay the bill. And my deductible is $1,500. Ain't that something? That was good. I said, well, we can pay a little bit every month. We don't have to pay it one time. We pay a little bit every month. And somebody just sent me a message. They asked me, Pastor, they didn't ask me how I was feeling. You know I had to go back in the hospital to get two new stents put inside my stomach because they had missed those two blockages down the bottom of my heart. They didn't send the text and says, well, Pastor, how are you? And we have sent them thousands of dollars over the years. They didn't even send me, I mean, just hurt me. I told the truth. They didn't even say, Apostle, how you feeling after the surgeries? So I just tell him, I said, look, you know what? I'm sorry I don't have any funds right now. I said, because I'm busy trying to pay this bill that I owe the hospital, you know. But if I said, I told him, if I had it, the Lord knew I would send it to you, even though in my mind I didn't tell him all the stuff that I just told you. Even in my mind, I know they didn't have no compassion, even asked me how I was feeling. And I was still sending. Because it's hard to see somebody hungry, know somebody's hungry, and don't give them food. Don't give them, know they're thirsty and don't give them water. I can't see it. I give them my last I would give. So I just told myself, look, I'm not able to go to work yet. Because the doctor says don't stress things. I'm feeling really good, though. I'm feeling really good. Even my truck, I got to put a motor on it, on the running board, and I got it in the house already. But I'm not pressing myself for that. My truck still can drive. I'm not going to press myself and go in there and tour something open, and then I got to be rushed to the hospital. I got to use common sense. Peter! Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. See, we're going to stay. We got to stay behind him. We got to stay. Everything that Jesus commissioned us to do, we got to do. Peter was there, but he wouldn't go into that judgment hall with the priest. Peter stayed outside. He stayed outside. And then the other disciple, I believe, was John, came over and got Peter to bring him inside. I could see Peter trembling. Because he know these people are about to do something to Jesus. He didn't know exactly what they're going to do. Even though Jesus had told him he must go to Jerusalem and die. Be put to death. And Peter tried to rebuke Jesus. Jesus said, no, man, get behind me, Satan. See, I come to do this thing. I come to die so you can have life. So you can take this gospel to another dimension, to another level, to another realm. You take this gospel to another realm. See, we're so busy, man, thinking about this and that. And all God wants us to do is share his son. That's all the Father wants us to do. Tell the world about my son, what he done at Calvary. Peter was standing outside at the door. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter inside. Then the maid who was in charge, I read this before, in charge at the door, said to Peter, you are not also one of the disciples of this man? Are you? He said, I am not. Now the servant and the guards and the attendants had made fire of coals, for it was cold. It was in the wintertime. And they were standing and warming themselves. And Peter was with them, standing and warming himself. You can imagine just looking at, if you see a bonfire, or you see sometime the homeless be standing, and they got this big barrel, this can, and it's filled with wood and stuff, and all types of stuff they put in there to make this fire. And you can imagine they're standing around the fire. And all the thoughts are going through their minds, all different thoughts. Am I going to get a place? Would I ever be have my own place, my own apartment? All this stuff going through. But at this time, you could see, imagine Peter standing by the fire and getting warm, and he's thinking, what are they going to do to my, what are they going to do to the rabbi? What are they going to do to my Lord? What are they going to do to him? Will he ever have an opportunity to talk to us again? All these things is going through Peter's mind. You got to imagine this. He's questioning the situation. Jesus is inside. Hallelujah. But John came and got him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter was warm and said, the high priest, then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. See, people, they want to know his disciples. If the disciples has the same thing that he has. Hallelujah. What are we teaching? See, because they want to stop this thing. They want to cut this thing off at the root. And they believe that if they kill Jesus, if they crucify Jesus, that all of this stuff will be cut off. You wouldn't hear this word anymore. Hallelujah. But got news for you. Jesus had already impregnated his disciples with the word to go forth and preach the kingdom, preach repentance and the kingdom of God. He had already put it inside their belly, in their heart. But they couldn't stand to lose him. They were close. The high priest asked him. Jesus answered him, I have spoken only to the world. I have always taught in a synagogue and in the temple area where the Jews habitually congregate, assemble. And I have spoken nothing secretly. See, Jesus is saying that everything you ask me about my disciples, what I have, the teaching I give to them, I have released the same teaching in the synagogue, in the temple. You have heard me. I've never heard anything, done anything in secret. So you've heard exactly what you want to know about my disciples. Listen, listen. Woo. Why do you ask me? Ask those who you have heard what I have said to them. See, they know what I've said. But when he said this, one of the attendants who stood by struck Jesus saying, is that how you answer the high priest? Like the high priest is greater than Christ. You know, the Pope and those folks they got over there, the Roman bishops and all those, they think they're bigger than Jesus. They think they're so big that they're scratching out. They're removing stuff that he said to the disciples out of the book. That's what they're doing. They're changing the Lord's Prayer and all this stuff they're doing. And things that Jesus said, other words that he said, they're moving out the book. But they can't change Jesus. They can't change the Spirit. Because once you get the Spirit of Jesus, you're going to know the truth. He said the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Got to understand this. On a hill called Calvary is where everything was taken care of. It's the message today. A hill called Calvary. If you're missing something, look to Calvary. Because it was prepared for us on Calvary. It's right there. Hallelujah. They smacked him in his mouth. Struck him in his mouth. And Jesus replied, if I have said anything wrong, if I've spoken abusively, if there was evil in what I said, tell what was wrong with it. But if I spoke rightly and properly, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. But Simon Peter still was standing and was warming himself. They said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not," second time. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And again Peter denied him. And immediately a rooster crowed. Glory to God. What did he say? Cock-a-doodle. I can't make the sound, but we do. In our country, we can hear them. Early in the morning, they'll wake you up. They'll be standing outside on a rock, standing on a tree limb, and they will make that sound. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas into the Praetorium, Judgment Hall, the governor's palace. And it was early that they themselves did not enter the Praetorium, pronounce that they might not be defiled, become ceremonially unclean. See, this was close to Passover. And as I said, they're not going to touch certain things. They're not going to do certain things. But might be fit to eat the Passover supper. See, that's all they're thinking about. He's right inside there. The real Passover is inside the room. But they're so committed to their rituals that the real Passover lamb is inside the house. It's in the office. It's in the judgment hall. And they can't see it. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They retorted, "If he were not an evil doer, a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge and sentence and punish him according to your own law." The Jews answered, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." See, this is Passover, preparation for Passover. This was to fulfill the word which Jesus had spoken and to show, indicate, predict by what manner of death he was to die. John chapter 12, verse 32 to 34. So Pilate went back again into the judgment hall and called Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "Are you saying this of yourself on your own initiative, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" No. Pilate had to tell Jesus, "Look, it is your own people. It is the priest that is supposed to be colluding with everybody to put you to death. The priest is supposed to be testifying about Jesus. All to know that he come down from heaven, but they don't know because it's too deep for them at this time." You understand? This was shadowed from their the intellect, from their knowledge. He said, they did this. They deliver me. Hallelujah. Deliver you to me. Jesus answered, "My kingdom," listen to Jesus, "my kingdom, kingship, royal power belongs not to this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have been fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here, this world. It is no such origin or source." At this time, when he said this to Pilate, Pilate was moving backward, just like the soldiers in the Galilee when they come to arrest Jesus. Because at this particular time, Jesus is speaking with authority. And Pilate sensed the authority and the power in his words. Peter got Pilate got scared. Hallelujah. Pilate said to him, then you are a king. Jesus answered, you say it. In other words, you know, you speak correctly, for I am a king. Certainly I am a king. This is why I was born, and for this I have come into this world, to bear witness of the truth. See, the truth always messes people up. You got to stop compromising the truth to please the people. This is what God wants back in his church, in his house. People to stand up and speak the truth, the uncompromising truth. I'm almost finished. Speak the uncompromising truth. I don't care how people feel. If they call you by all types of names that you don't name, it's not in the book. Speak the truth. If people are committing adultery, if they're fornicating, if they're committing adulterous acts, they're doing homosexual acts, if they're stealing, gambling, you got to preach against sin. You got to preach against sin, because you don't have to call out homosexual. You don't have to call out adultery. You just preach against sin. Tell them if they continue to sin, they will end up in the lake of fire and brimstone. They will experience the second death. You got to tell them that. There's no if or buts about it. If you or I go back into sin and we stay there and we don't repent, we will end up in the lake of fire and brimstone, even though we have preached for so many years. Even though so many people have come to Jesus because of the word that we spoke out of our soul, we still end up in the lake of fire and brimstone. Truth is what God is calling for. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth, who belongs to the truth, hears and listens to my voice. See, you can't deviate from it. Once you get to know it, it does something on the inside of us. Once you get to know the truth, once you get to know Jesus, I'm not talking about knowing of the truth or knowing of Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. Once you get to know him on the inside, my God, and begin to bubble on the inside. Hallelujah. Something happened. Remember the man at the pool. When Jesus asked him if you want to be made whole, if you want to be made well, if you want to be healed. He didn't respond, yes, Lord, I want to be healed. He said every time that the water was troubled, somebody go ahead of me. Hallelujah. I can't go in. Every time I'm trying to get down to the pool, somebody go ahead of me. And all Jesus wanted to know is if he wanted to be made whole. All he had to do is say, yes, yes, sir, I want to be made whole. When you get to know the truth, you know that he's able, my God. You know that he's able to make you whole. Once you get to know the truth, hallelujah, you're not afraid, because he lives on the inside. Truth is inside of you. Truth is inside of me. Truth is inside of us. Hallelujah. It's a presence that stays with us. Truth. I'm talking about nobody that compromises. I'm talking about people that are living for Christ. The truth stays inside of us. Hallelujah. That even when we want to compromise, it will not allow us to compromise. It's like fire burning inside of us, Jeremiah says. It's shot up in our bones. Truth. Listen, oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Pilate said to him, what is truth? On seeing this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no fault in him. See, truth will expose everything. He said, I find no fault. Pilate is searching everywhere trying to find something. But Pilate's wife already, I told you earlier, Pilate's wife was dreaming about this man, dreaming about Jesus. And told her husband, don't you fool with this man. He's a mighty man. And when Pilate heard Jesus speak, he got scared. We see it in chapter 19. He began to back up off of Jesus. He wanted to find a way. The Bible says he was eager to find a way to set Jesus free. But the Jews called for his crucifixion, to be crucified them all. Pilate said to him, what is truth? On saying this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no fault in him. But it is your custom that I release one prisoner for you at the Passover. So shall I release for you the king of the Jews? Then they shouted back again, not him, not this man, but Barabbas. No, Barabbas was a robber. I want you to know this. Then from here you go into chapter 19 and see the workings of the power of God. Because God had already set this thing in motion. The real person that should have died that day was Barabbas. But Jesus had to die. If he didn't die that day, if he wasn't condemned to die that day, you and I would not have access to the throne of grace and mercy. We wouldn't have access to it. But because the Father wanted a family, I tell you, in the garden, he walked and talked with Adam in the cool of the day. And I believe that the Father missed this. So he sowed his son into the, because this is how I see it. You don't have to see it that way. He sowed his son into this world. He had to die. Every seed that you sow must die first before it leaves. I plant some seeds in my backyard. Hold 1 minute. Hallelujah. Thank you to God. That was my doctor calling. They want me to do a sleep study. Anyway, God sowed his son into the earth realm. And in my backyard, I was telling you that I plant some stuff that we expect to get up. We got basil, and we got peppermint and different stuff we got prayed out there. And I have two pineapples that are growing. Two pineapple plants that we hatched from scratch. They had to die first before they live. You see, so Jesus, Father sowed Jesus in the ground. Jesus had to die on the cross. And out of his death comes life. Understand? Out of his dying on the cross come life. You and I, we get life when we receive him as Lord and Savior. And this is what the crucifixion led to. So that now we can have the same conversation. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. The same conversation that he had with Adam in the garden, we can have with him now. In the cool of the day. Anytime you're talking to God, it's the cool of the day. Spend some time talking with him, not talking about him. Spend some time talking to him in the cool of the day. Tell God how beautiful he is, how awesome he is. What a wonderful work he has done in the earth realm. Thank him for saving your life. Thank him for keeping you alive. You know, because even in this time that we're living, you're going to have to pray more because it's going to get worse. The people in charge or think that they're in charge right now are telling you it's going to get worse. They tell you to your face, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So that means you got to do something else different. Hallelujah. Spend some time praising him. Spend some quality time praising the Savior, exalting the Savior. All that he has done in your life, your family life, give him praise for. Spend some time. Hallelujah. In the cool of the day. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for this anointed word that you have given us, a hill called Calvary. Father, we know that all that we have ever hoped for, all that we ever want to cling to is at Calvary. We thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary, O God. We thank you for the nail-pierced hands and the nail-pierced feet. For the crown on his head, the blood came down his brow. For every stripe that he took on our behalf, Lord, we thank you. Oh, Father, we just praise you today for all that you have done, all you're doing, and all that you would do for us. We thank you for forgiving us, for extending your hand of mercy and grace to us, O God. We pray, Father God, today that you continue to heal us. O God, that you continue to restore us, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for those that out there in the world that are trying, Lord, and they don't know which way to go. But Father, today we ask you to enter the doors of their hearts, their minds, their soul today. As they call out to you in repentance, Lord, I ask that you answer them. You said that you in no wise would cast a person away from you, Lord. You said that all souls are yours, Father. So we ask today that you reach out from your throne in glory and reach into time today. And that one that denounced Satan and his agents in the world system, that one that believes that Jesus died on the cross and that you raised him on the third day, that one that believes in their heart and confess with their mouth, Lord Jesus, that you reach way down and pull them out of the miry clay today and give them access to grace and mercy. Give them access to this new life that John the Baptist talked about as they repent. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, remember, he came in the world to save your soul, our souls. Because that's what he said. He said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. A lot of people are still saying, but when they find God, but I want to always tell people that God was never lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to heal the broken hearts. He came to heal the sin-sick souls. If you just call out to him today in repentance, wherever you are, say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. There are many, too much for me to number, but you know them all. So I laid them at the foot of the altar, at the foot of the cross today, as we were preaching about the hill called Calvary. And I heard the word said that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Lord Jesus, I come with great expectation this morning. I heard the word. I even heard the preacher said that there's going to be a second death. I didn't know that, Lord, but I don't want to be in that second resurrection and be condemned to that death, that final death. Lord, I don't want to be in the lake of fire and brimstone with the devil and his agents. I want to be with you. So I'm asking you now, Lord, as I open the door to my heart, I invite you to come and take a rightful position on the throne of my heart today, Lord Jesus. Save me from sin. Save me from the works of darkness, O God. Allow me to step into the light where you are. Help me to walk according to your word, which is truth, Lord Jesus. And I will serve you all the days of my life. If you just said that uncommon prayer that I believe the Holy Spirit just gave to me, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, so you can get a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ, the apostles that we preach and teach about every day. You want to get closer to him. Because you want to get closer to him, we have something, you have, we have something to do. Because I have to do it every day. Some days I don't feel like doing it, tell you the truth. But I have to do it if I want to get closer to him. So I'm telling you that if you want to get closer to the Father, you have to get the word inside of you. I say get the word inside of you because that's what my pastor told me. I thought just going home and opening the Bible that it was fine. But he said, no, you got to go home and get the word in you. In other words, you have to go over and over and over. So it's just like when you're studying for a degree. You're studying for a degree. You go over and over. You want to make sure. Because when you go to do the test, you're doing the test. You do the test without any books. You can't look in the book and see the multiple questions, multiple answers. They give you a piece of paper, may have multiple answers or multiple questions, but you don't have a book that can tell you. You can look at it and tell what the answer is, like when you're studying. So you got to study and go over, and you got to rehearse the answer. So when you come to the examination room, you will know what the answer is. The examination room is the world. When your spirit man is being tested, when your walk with Christ is being tested, do you have the right words to speak to the enemy? So you need to study the word of God. My friend out there in computer land that received the gift of salvation, I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name according to Acts 2:38. Okay? And tell them you want to be baptized. And when they set up the appointment, you might have to go choose a baptismal class, because that's what we do. We try to teach you sometime. It happens in a week. Some are 2 or 3 weeks. All depends on the pastor. You know, and then they will set a date. When they set the date for you to be baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Because you want people to be witnesses. You want witnesses. You want a cloud of witnesses for the greatest day of your life. This is going to be your, that day is going to be your new birthday, your spiritual birthday. Hallelujah. When you step out of darkness into the light of God, the marvelous light of God, and you're going to be baptized, and you'll have a lot of ministers going to be there, people going to be there to baptize you and witness the baptism. Pastor going to have some, most likely have some of the congregational members there to encourage you of your new life, your new walk. And you want witnesses there to see this, to be part of it, because some people not believe that when you say, I am saved, I am sanctified, that Jesus saved my life. Some people, even some family members, ain't going to believe till they see you go down in that water, that Holy Ghost filled water, because the Holy Ghost is down there. He's there. He is with you. Jesus is there. Hallelujah. When you go down that water, you are telling them all the witnesses that you belong to Jesus Christ. That's what you are telling them. Okay? So you want to give your heart, your mind, and soul completely to Jesus. And then when you come out of there, my Lord, you find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel, and get yourself involved. You know, if everybody in the church will do something, everybody that's part of the body of Christ will do something, man, the church will continue to grow so fast and be so big. But most of the people don't want to do anything. All they want to do is come and get more word. They want to come get more word. Preacher, I can't wait to pastor preach next week. That's what they tell you. I can't wait. And they tell people, they don't tell you, don't even tell where the church is. They say, man, you should have been at church last week. But my pastor preached. Man, he preached so good. She preached so well. All that stuff. Don't invite anyone to church. Can't tell what the message was. Can't tell what the title was. Man, the word was so good. But they're doing anything with the word that they hear. I thank God for each and every one of you that come out of your busy schedule, busy time, and come out here in fellowship with us. I don't know if tomorrow we'll talk about the blood of Jesus tomorrow, but I have to let the Holy Ghost use me, whatever he wants me to do. If we talk about Hannah, or we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, we talk about Solomon or somebody, but we're going to let the Holy Ghost use us as always to do what he wants done. I want to open the line now for anyone that want to come and encourage the people out there in the world. You may have a song on your lips that you want to sing in your heart. Sing the song. Ours is a worship song. Sing the song. Okay, We had several people on from New York. They dropped off, but they got the message. Anyway, the line is open. I'm going to put my phone on mute. Come on in and encourage the people out there.
God bless you, Apostle. Enjoy the word while I was riding, trying to get through the rain. But I was thinking about how the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. Oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. I thank God for the Passover. I thank for what he's done. You know, but like you were saying earlier, if it had not been for Christ, nothing, man. We wouldn't have had a chance. We wouldn't have a chance. God probably would have been started over with mankind like he did in Noah's time and many other generations before us. And I just thank God, Heavenly Father, that he sent his son and died for us. It's so much we can be thankful for. How he saved me. He saved me, delivered me, freed me from sin. I was out in deep down in sin. God, he saved me and delivered me. And I just thank God for what he did for me. I couldn't have paid that price. But I think I was paying the price for my sins. And I thank God because who could have been picked better more than his son? And I just thank God for him. And I was thinking about what you were saying earlier about just everything you were saying. I was thinking about when Christ got ready to go to the cross, before he got ready to go to the cross, he was telling the Father, take this cup away from him because he saw what he had to bear for man. He took on all sins. Everything that he didn't do, but he said, "Let your will be done." I'm glad that he, because he could have just gave the cup up. He didn't have to die for mankind. God didn't have to send his son. He could have just went on, and all this could have just been doomed for hell. And so I just thank God for sending his son to give us a chance to buy mankind time to get it right. And that goes to show you how merciful God is. He's so merciful. He said, it's not his will that none of us should perish, but have everlasting, to come to repentance, that we can have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I just thank God for life. If you go down to John 3:16, 3:17, if you don't believe in the only begotten son who was already sent, then you are already condemned. And it's a blessing and a privilege that he died for us, that he died for man. I just thank God for that. You know, it's a blessing, man. If you look at your own life, you can see the blessings and the miracle of God and what he done. You know, he could have left us out there in sin, let us die in sin. You know, I was out there on alcohol, on cocaine, chasing women. God could have let me die out there, but he sent his son, his spirit, and he saved me. And I just thank God for that. I just thank God for the broadcast today. It was very, very powerful. And it makes you think about how good God is. Like, he wakes us up every morning. When you look at nature, you just look at how good, like you were saying earlier, and it's good to tell him how good, because he is good. You look at how he placed that sun in the mid-sky, and the moon, and then he gave us this beautiful planet, and then it's springtime, he bring up all the beautiful flowers. You don't have to go to Walmart or grocery store to buy you a set of flowers. You just go walk right on outside and look at that beautiful green grass and the beautiful flowers that God created. Then he made the firmament, how he put the firmament up above us with the sun. And I just thank God for all he done. And he's so good. I thank God for his mercy and grace. I thank him for his Holy Spirit. I just thank God for everything. And I just pray that we continue praying for each other and you all be blessed, because God is good. And without him, we can't do nothing. We can't make it without him. There's nothing we can do unless he do it. And I don't matter what we might face or what we get ready to face. There's a lot of things that the Apostle said earlier. It's going to start getting worse. But the only hope we have is Christ. We don't have an army. We don't have the technology big enough to fight the enemy and the devil. God is our battle axe. He got our back. And I just thank God for everything he's done. That just made me want to trust him even more to keep my eyes and all my affection on things above. But I thank you. God bless you. Love y'all. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. Be careful out there. Are you riding that big truck? Just be careful out there and pay attention to the road. Pray to God keep you safe and secure on the highway. Hallelujah. Pray for the people in Baltimore. A lot of people died yesterday or this morning early. The ship just left the harbor and going through, and I don't know what happened with the bridge, because that bridge goes up in the air. And something went with somebody making an error, and the ship ran into the bridge. And the cars was on the bridge at the same time, just broke the bridge. Cars are going off the bridge, down into the water, down into the big river. So they rescued a few people, but other people died. I don't know how many people died yet. I have to go back and look at the news later. You don't know. I say it every day candidly. You don't know what time it is, what time your soul will be required. You don't know. You know, the man in the Bible says he gonna build, pull down the old barn and build a big barn so he can store up all his goods. And then he going to sit back and relax. Jesus says he's a foolish man. He don't know that tonight his soul may be required of him, you know. And those people were driving across that bridge in fancy cars, old cars, new cars, whatever, SUV. And all of a sudden, cars are going down, falling like rain off the bridge. And I know the bridge. A lot of cars go over that bridge. I mean, hundreds of thousands of cars every day. But you see, any one time you can have a whole bunch of cars on that top of that bridge. And the cars, I can picture them just falling down like rain. I picture them as I close my eyes. I can picture them how they were falling off. And what a fear, scared that come off. You're in a car, and all of a sudden you're in mid-air, falling from the bridge. That bridge is pretty high. And also, we pray if the ship didn't kill you, now the water will kill you, because the drop is a big drop. And then you got that big ship coming at you, you know. Glory to God. So keep them people in prayer. Keep the families that are alive, the missing loved ones, keep them in prayer. God bless you, Minister Jones. The line is open for anyone that want to come on and do what the Lord calls you to do.
I've been over that bridge a lot of times. A lot of trucks go over that bridge, too. I've been on that bridge quite a few times because you got a lot of loads coming that way. But you got that shipyard not too far from there. And I done been that way a lot of times. I just thank God that he keep me. Well, I tell you, just don't know what, like you said, you don't know what's going to happen out here. And, you know, like the Bible says, the point of the man is dying, not that judgment. And, you know, like Job even said, naked I came in, and naked I'm leaving. And just, you know, our life is borrowed. The Bible says our life is like a vapor, like this grass out here. You know what I'm saying? We'll be here today and be gone tomorrow. You see, you have seen
tomorrow.
That over the years. So many people that left here, I have been to so many funerals. I'm talking about back to back, you know. And so, you know, the main thing, when I look about God, he gives us a chance. Nobody in this world can say that God didn't give us, God don't have mercy. God didn't give man mercy. Even after his son died, he could have just came on back. But God done gave, throughout mankind, he have gave us mercy. I just thank God for the mercy of God and his protection, because I know black God, I ain't got a chance. It ain't my strength.
That's right.
It ain't my ability. It's God that keeps me every day. It's his breath that I breathe, the air that I breathe, his way. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by God. It's his step. But without him, apostle, I'm nothing. I can't do nothing without Christ. I can't make
yes.
it. Without him,
hallelujah.
I'm a bad mistake. I'm a mistake waiting to happen. But because of his spirit, he keep me. But that's all I want to say. God bless you.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, Minister Jones. The line is open for anyone that want to encourage the people out there in computer land. Well, let me pray and close up. We thank God for you all, really do. Thank God for everyone that came on today, even those folk that came on from New York that I didn't know the numbers. We thank God for you all. We thank God for blessing you with ear to hear and hopefully with a mind to do. We just pray that the Lord continue to bless us all and continue to keep us all safe and secure in this perilous time that we are living, because we are living in perilous times, the dangerous times that we are living. And things are happening that is outside of our control, but God is in control. So as long as we stay connected to him, we will experience that control. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for everyone that came on today, for Brother Mark. We thank you for Apostle Stewart, Brother Minister Jones. We thank you for Elder coming on with us today. As always, he's here. And we pray, God, for Lord's keeping power. We pray for keeping grace and keeping mercy to be honest and with us, oh God. We pray, oh God, for our family members, for our husbands, for our wives, for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Lord, we pray for this nation. We pray for the President of the United States, the Vice President, the Congress, oh God. We pray for senators in the House and representatives. We pray for them. Lord, we pray, Lord God. We pray for the Supreme Court Justice Department. We pray for the appellate courts. Lord God, we pray today in the name of Jesus for every police officer that put themselves in harm's way. God, we are praying today for the doctors and the nurses, those that are going out and they're trying their best to take care of the patients. And those other nurses and other police officers that don't do what they need to do, Lord, we pray that you move them out of position and let someone else get in position that wants to do truth, that wants to do justice. Lord, we pray today for every husband, every wife. Oh, God, we pray for every marriage today, Lord God, even those that are going through, Lord God, and those that are not going through. God, we pray for them today, Lord. We ask, God, that you, oh, God, be the glue that keep the marriage together, that even as Satan coming to kill, steal, and destroy, that you, oh, God, would give them abundant life, more abundant life. Oh, God, we pray today, God, that you energize every marriage, Lord God. God, ignite every marriage and let the fire burn bright and clear, Lord God. We are praying today, Lord God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, Lord, that you make a way for those that are hungry, Lord God, those that are calling, those that want to help, want helping hand, God. God, make a way that they can get help, that they can buy food, that they can put water on the table, oh God. They can put food on the table for their children. God, we pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you make a way. Lord, we know that you are the way maker. Lord, we pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you heal, deliver, and that you restore. Lord, somebody is dying with cancer and the doctor said it's impossible. Lord, it's not impossible with you, God. I pray that you move into that room, move into that bedroom, move into that hospital room, and God, oh God, move into that hospice, oh God, and you touch that man, touch that woman, touch that little boy, that little girl, and cause them to raise up out of death into life, God, God. Let them be a testimony for you, God. We are praying right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you protect those that are in the nursing homes, oh God. We have some people in the nursing homes that are being mistreated by these nurse helpers and some nurses. Oh God, we pray, God, that you arrest them in the spirit, oh God. Let them know that that man could be their father, could be their mother, that they're taking advantage of. So Lord, we pray for safety in the nursing homes, oh God. In the sick and shut-in, Lord, we pray, oh God, your help, your power. Lord, your grace and mercy. Now, Father, we ask you to bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, oh God, and bless us when we go. We ask, oh God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh God, we are praying today, oh God, for the blessings to come. Blessings to come, not for us to be braggadocious, not for us to push our chest up like we're arriving that we got it all, but we are praying for the blessings to come so that we can bless those that are less fortunate than us, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you continue to heal my body and heal me speedily, oh God, so that I can get back to go back and do some work so that I can be a helper in this kingdom, oh God, in this earthly realm, oh God. Oh, Father, I thank you. Father, I praise you. I glorify you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do, God. Keep my brothers and sisters safe and secure. My brothers and sisters that are in Christ, Lord God, keep them safe and secure as they journey through these days, oh God, through these perilous days. We ask you to set up a hedge around them and keep them safe and secure. We pray for Pastor Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. We pray for Brother Mark. We pray for the elder on the line. We pray for the minister, Lord. We pray for Pastor Linda Washington. We pray for Bishop James Washington, Lord, for all their children and grandchildren. We pray, Father God, today, Lord, as we leave this line, but never your presence, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them. You love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak into somebody's ear gate today that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder. Stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Providence Kirstie. Cheryl Kirstie, we pray, oh God, that she'll come back and bring a word for us, a word of understanding, a word of encouragement, oh God. We pray today, Lord God, that you continue to protect her. We pray for healing for her daughter. Her daughter continues to heal, oh God. Lord, watch over her dogs, watch over her animals, her chickens, everything that concerns her, Lord, we ask you to keep safe and secure, Lord. And Lord, as you continue to make a way for her where it seems to be no way, Lord God, because you truly is the way maker, Lord. You are the promise keeper. You are the light in the darkness, Lord God. So we trust and depend on you. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Jesus just means that your attributes, your encouragement, everything should be as Jesus said. You know, encourage them. Give water to those that are thirsty. Give food to those that are hungry. Give shelter to those that are without shelter. Those that are naked, clothe them. We pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that we'll be able to clothe some people that need to be clothed. That we'll be able to give food to some that are hungry and water to those that are thirsty. Lord, tell somebody that you love them and God loved them and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak in somebody's ear gates that will make all the difference in their way, their life. It may stop someone from committing suicide, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home, committing some heinous crime. Just remember that Jesus loves you. I love you, and Jesus loves you more. God loves you more. God bless you. Have a blessed, safe day. Pay attention to your surroundings, okay? Please. Because we living in perilous times and a lot of crazy things are happening out there. If you look at the news, you will see for yourself a lot of crazy things are happening. People are just doing things because the enemy is in charge of their life. But Jesus is in charge of all lives. Enemy don't have no charge over us. God bless you all. Pray that I get to do this message tomorrow talking about the blood of Jesus. Pray that I get to do this message tomorrow. Bye-bye. I love you all. Bye-bye. Ooh.